I'm Eric Holtz, and welcome back to 90 Feet Away. As we take you through different people's journeys, this is not just about baseball, softball. As I've told you several times already, we're going to have all different athletes out here and people who help people through their journeys. Today, I am joined by not only someone who is incredibly high in his field, but it's personal. I found this guy, I don't want to use the term randomly, about 4 years ago, but I needed a little bit of motivation, even at my age. I was kind of broken a little bit, but as an aging athlete, I really needed somebody to help motivate me to kind of get back on track. And I found this unbelievably high energy, motivated, disgustingly good looking young man. And I am proud to be joined today by Pat Damiano of Pat Damiano Training and Fitness. He's one of the greatest fitness coaches in our area. He's got a tremendous amount of followers, and there's good reason. We are joined today by Pat Damiano. Pat, good to have you.
Wow, that was good. I need to post that one. That was a nice little intro and bio for
you. Even though I give you grief all the time, I do feel that way about you. I love you and I love everything that you do. I want to talk about your journey starting out and how you got to where you are at now. We really didn't know each other at all. You were a baseball player through high school. You end up going to college in Florida, and from what I understand, you were a power lifter early on in your journey through weightlifting and fitness. Talk about some of that.
Yeah. So what I tell people is I've done it all. My fitness ADD is kind of ran the past like 15, 17 years of my life. So played baseball in high school, just started, you know, working out to get a little better at baseball, slowly started to realize like, oh, I really like this. And if I stopped playing baseball, I'd still work out. Just kept doing it through high school. Ended up realizing that being a personal trainer was like a real job and something I could actually pursue. So ended up going to college specifically for that. Kept working at myself, slowly got a personal training certification, started training people on campus. Right around that time, I also discovered CrossFit, drank the Kool-Aid in that, was training people doing CrossFit. Like you said, I got into Olympic weightlifting. That kind of ran the next few years of my life. I ended up then moving back home to here in New York, started coaching CrossFit there, kind of being the head coach at a CrossFit gym, and just slowly but surely started picking up some more personal training clients, teaching a few less classes, more training clients, few less classes, and then long story short, over the years, it's kind of got to where I'm at now of full-time personal training.
So I want to go backwards a little bit. So you're in high school.
Yep.
You're obviously a good athlete, right?
Debatable.
Was baseball your favorite sport growing up?
That's all I played.
All you played growing up?
Spring, summer, winter, fall, nothing but baseball.
And I know who your high school coach is, Coach yes. Galgani, who's, you know, one of my favorite guys in the business. Very early for me to think that you knew at such a young age to want to pursue this. Before you get into that, you started working out on your own. You had nobody tell you you need to do this or you need to do that. You decided on your own in high school that you needed to get better.
I'd say yes and no. So I always kind of was interested in just being active. I did a lot of just push-ups and stuff like that in my room. A guy you know, Nick Katsompas, see, he's a year older than me. He played baseball. He was the one that was like his sophomore year, my freshman year. He was like, come to the gym, start working out a little bit. So he's the one that kind of like got me in the gym. And then very quickly I was like, okay, I really like this. This is going to get me better. So then I kind of like took it from there. But he was the one that first got me in the gym. And I'll always remember that.
And you always felt comfortable in the gym. I mean, it was just a great place for you to be therapeutically as well. Like you just felt good about being there.
Yeah, I just liked it. It was new. I think looking back, now it was probably a good thing. There wasn't as much information. I always joke, like, I had no idea what I was doing back then, but that was kind of the beauty of it. And it's long story short, that's like developed my philosophy on fitness. But I just liked going. It was just fun for me. It was something to do. I wanted a six pack. I was a 15-year-old boy, like who doesn't? So that just kind of, I just let that kind of take the reins and go from there.
So how were you as a student? Were you a good student?
I'm like straight B's.
Straight
like
B's.
Nothing. I got my stuff done, but it was nothing special.
Are you an ADD guy?
Big time. I am learning this.
I mean, I am too, right? Yeah. And I wasn't diagnosed till 1983 as a senior in high school. There was nothing they knew how to do or help or whatever. So you did well in school, but you weren't off the charts. How about baseball? How'd you do in baseball?
I did okay. I played outfield. So I played infield most of my life, second base and shortstop for a while. Long story short, one summer, Steve Fulgarino threw me in the outfield, and I was like, wow, I like this a lot better, and I'm good at it. Ground balls don't take bad hops into your chest and chin. Fly balls don't take bad hops. So I just really liked it, and I found I was a little bit better at it. I was always fast. I had a good arm. So I have all the confidence in the world to say I could catch anything. If I could somewhat get to, I could read fly balls really well. I was not much of a hitter. If I could just have gotten to first, I could have stole second and third, no problem. The problem is, as you know, getting to first base is pretty hard.
Yeah, not so easy. So you play through high school.
Yep.
And now you go to college to study the body, right? Yep. And where do you go to school?
University of Tampa.
So Tampa offers this, and how do you do in school?
I did good. So I was very fortunate that one, for the first time, I was actually studying things I enjoyed. So kind of to run it back, like you said, you asked about how I was as a student, ADD and stuff like that. What I've learned about ADHD or ADD is that it's not necessarily a lack of focus thing. It's quite frankly, lack of a better term, if you don't like it, you really don't care about it.
Totally.
Like your brain just shuts off.
Totally. That was
me. And that's it.
That was me.
But if I do like it, I'm a freaking rock star at it. So that's what I've learned about that. So when I was studying exercise science and, you know, learning about the body, those I was a little bit more interested in. So I was a little bit better with school there. And there were some classes I would just sit and just no notes, no nothing. I'd just sit there and listen. And since I liked it, it stuck with me. Also, my major at the time at Tampa was fairly new, so there wasn't a ton of exercise science class. So I got rolled in with like a lot of physical education classes. So I was taking like coaching and teaching volleyball, track and field. So I was like, all my friends used to make fun of me. Like I was kind of chilling. So I did well just because I liked it. And then some of my classes were just hilarious.
So that's the school part. You start really working out heavy because baseball's over.
Right.
Olympic weightlifting, what did you want to do with that?
So that was just fun. So I always made a joke because it's an extremely low-level sport. Like, most people don't even know what it is. Anytime I explain it to people who don't know what it is, they're like, were you going to the Olympics? It's just the name of the sport.
Sure.
So I was just doing it for fun. I was 21, 22 at it. I'd started CrossFit. There's aspects of Olympic weightlifting in CrossFit. They were always my favorite, so I kind of shifted my focus to that. Again, just because I enjoyed it, it was fun. I was good at it. That always helps kind of drive it a little bit. But I always made the joke to people that as soon as I don't enjoy doing this, I'm going to stop because it's not paying any bills. Like, the most you're going to get with it is a free tub of protein or something like that. So when it started to feel a little bit like a chore, I just stopped, which I was fine with.
Did you stay healthy the whole time?
Like physically healthy?
Physically healthy.
For the most part, I definitely had my nicks and knacks, and I'll always believe anybody training for a sport at a decently high level is going to have something.
Totally.
I never had any catastrophic injuries, luckily. That was also part of what kind of got me out of it. My shoulder was starting to be a little funky, so I kind of got a little less interested in...
Any back issues?
Yes, but not from that, from baseball, actually. Yeah, just like the imbalance. I dove once in a game for a ball once, and just my back has never been the same. I think I just crunched some stuff in there. So once in a while, that would flare up when I was weightlifting, but no like issues due to that.
So you graduate UTampa, and is your idea to stay down there, or you knew me? So you were planning on staying down in Tampa. You liked it down there.
I loved it down there. Actually, my plan was to go to, they had a 1 year graduate program for exercise science slash like sports performance become like a strength and conditioning coach for a college or something like that. At the time when I graduated, that's kind of what I thought I wanted to do. It was sort of, I was kind of undecided, but I loved being in Tampa. So I ended up staying down there for a year. And then I got a call to be the head CrossFit coach at a gym that I had gone to back up here, up north. And that's what actually ended up getting me home.
So that's what, I never knew that.
Oh,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what, that's what brought you back mm-hmm. home. Okay. So you're drinking the Kool-Aid, the CrossFit yeah. Kool-Aid. How long are you really hard into CrossFit?
So I started CrossFit when I was 19, I'd say 19 to 21, maybe 22 hard. Got into Olympic weightlifting around 21 to 22, did that hard for like 3 years. Then I got back into the Kool-Aid with the CrossFit a little bit. So I've been on and off drinking it. I drank it hard for a few years.
Okay.
And then it's been kind of part of my life ever since.
We'll talk about that as we go. What made you veer away from it, from CrossFit?
It was, at the first time I veered away, it was just kind of, there was something else that I thought I wanted to try out and I ended up being good at it. That was the Olympic weightlifting, so I started with that. I then started to just get into different styles of not, CrossFit is awesome. I love the concept of it. It can be aggressive on the body. It is not, you know, again, I still love it. I have no like issues with it. There are certain parts, but it can be a lot. And sometimes beating yourself up every day is not the most fun thing in the world. So I do like to do that from time to time, but doing it on a consistent basis is what I didn't enjoy a lot at the time. So that was kind of what got me away from doing it all the time and not drinking the Kool-Aid as much, but it's still in the mix.
So at this point you're working for somebody, you're running yeah. their gym, and how does Pat Damiano Fitness kind of take form, take shape? Like what motivated you to say, you know what, man, I've had enough of doing this for the man. I want to do this for myself. And had that start.
So it was very gradual over time. This whole process probably over a 4-year period where I was just teaching 25 or so classes a week. That was in addition to my managerial type of stuff. I then started, I got a client, a personal training client. There's a lot more money in personal training than teaching group fitness. And then I got another client and then another client. I just started to see the financial benefits of personal training. I also kind of felt that it was working better than group fitness. Group fitness has its place, but then personal training does as well. And I just started to kind of see myself as more of a personal trainer. And I just started getting more clients. I was busier. The finances are better in personal training. So I slowly just started to kind of take away at my classes and build up my clientele, took some classes away, build up the clientele until it was to the point where it was just, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but it just wasn't worth my time to teach group fitness
anymore.
No.
I believe me, I totally understand it. At this point, approximately how old are you?
When I completely stopped teaching group fitness, I taught my last class, I was probably 26, because I think that was right before COVID. Yeah, I think I was around 26.
So about 26. Are you living home?
Yes.
So you're still living home, but you still made the decision. You're probably not paying rent. You got great parents, yeah. like great family. The Italian mom's cooking you dinner. I mean, spoiling the hell out of you. But it was that glaring, that the financial
yeah.
impact. Okay. So we start Pat Damiano and... you know, you're doing pretty well. But then you start to change a little bit. and I think this was one of the real interesting things that attracted me to you at first. How and why did you start to change? Because you're incredibly different. I mean, tell the
yes.
audience, I'll get into it, but I really want to hear from you what it was that motivated you to look to be the nonconformist.
Yeah. Yeah. First thing, I think it's just part of my personality. I'm noticing that as I just want to go against the grain. It's just in me. And I think that's in a lot of people. So the main thing that got it is, again, kind of going back to this fitness ADD thing, is there's, I'd say for probably 5 to 7 years, I haven't really had a fitness goal. I just like to work out and want to be in shape. So I've always been interested in something different, and there's a company on it who they're the ones who make the steel clubs and the steel maces. I don't know how I came across them. I just got interested in them, bought a steel club with a steel mace, and just started to mess around with it. And I just liked it. That's really all it was. Is, you know, it was different. I was enjoying it. I was working out harder. I liked learning something that kind of keeps me a little bit more engaged, is instead of just, all right, do a bench press set and cool, the weight goes up, but learning a new skill and becoming more fluid at it is what kind of intrigues me. And it's just my overarching, I just like to work out, and I'm totally fine trying new things. And if I like something, I'm gonna do it. If I don't, I'm not going to.
But you started doing this, and I could be totally wrong, you don't do anything basic anymore. You don't do any bench pressing.
Yeah,
I don't. You know, everything that you do now is mace, kettlebell, sandbags, and not only you. I mean, you know, audience, if you follow Pat Damiano on Instagram and you look at some of his workouts, I mean, you know, the guy that hated training classes has a Saturday morning class with up to 30 or 35 people, but doing his workouts, doing just what I discussed, clubs, kettlebell swings, maces, sandbags. There's nothing conventional about what Pat does. And yeah, he's got a great personality, but I think people are also interested in something different, in something new, and not being an Olympic weightlifter in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. How has that really progressed for you? I mean, because I know your business, mm-hmm. It's wild now. Have you been surprised at it?
Yes. I am slightly surprised. So, you know, to give you a little context too, is I started doing a lot of that stuff myself, but I was quite frankly, I guess you could say, afraid, not confident to add it to what my clients were doing. We were still doing pretty basic stuff, squats, bench press, all that stuff. And most of the time, the reason it got brought into my sessions with my clients is they asked me about it. They were like, hey, what's
Saw what you were posting on Instagram.
So I was like, okay, if you guys want to try it out, because it's so different. I didn't want to shove it down anybody's throat. So they asked, we started doing it. The more people started asking, we started doing it. They like it. It's fun. It's something different. And it just kind of started taking off from there. And I started to realize, like, okay, people want something different. I mean, I'm not alone. I want to do something a little different. Even if we're still doing maybe 3 days of the regular stuff, squats, bench press, whatever it is, we're going to throw in the unconventional stuff to mix things up, to switch things up, to move in a different way, learn a different piece of equipment. And people just started to really catch on to that. And that was the first step of it. And then as I started to do it more and more, I was like, shit, this works. Like, I'm strong, I feel good, I'm mobile, I'm conditioned, I'm a very well-rounded person. I'm not very one-sided like I used to be in the past. And I realized more people care about that. And this leads into some of the criticism I get is with the stuff that I do is, oh, it doesn't build muscle, it doesn't get you stronger, this and that. It's like, it does, it just doesn't get you as strong or muscular as other forms. And that's okay, because most people actually don't care about that.
And most people don't need to be.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, most people just want to be healthy.
Exactly.
And functional, mm-hmm. and be able to move. Who do you train? Who is Pat's clientele? Talk about it.
That's a great question. I train everyday people. I say this as a compliment to my clients. I train normal freaking people. No one's going to the Olympics tomorrow. No one's playing for the Yankees tomorrow. I train normal people that want to work out. They want to be well-rounded. They want to be fairly strong, fairly mobile, fairly conditioned. They're not looking to set world records in any of those categories, and they want to enjoy it, right? The reason I have a job is because people struggle to work out on their own. A big factor in that is they don't like to do it. Part of it is they don't know what to do, but a lot of it is they don't really like to do it. I make it somewhat enjoyable. I like to think, at least. That's my main
goal. Oh, no. You make it fun for me. I mean, which is part of the reason that I reached out here at Game On 13. We have an entire gym here, mm-hmm. And I'm here 7 days a week, and there are a lot of days I didn't want to do it. Hence, you know what, let me call this guy Pat and see if this works out. And here it is, 4 years, many surgeries, a knee replacement, a hip replacement.
Not my fault.
Not your fault. No, not his fault at all. As a 58-year-old aging athlete,
It's quite the opposite. Pat is learning how to be able to help me stay healthy because, you know, again, I'm fighting Father Time in my journey. I want to be good. I want to be better. I'm not satisfied with who I am today. I want to be better tomorrow. And that's some of the energy and the day-to-day that you bring. Are there age groups that you specialize in? Do you like working with kids? Do you like working with adults? Because you work with everybody.
Yeah, I do work with everybody. I'd say the age group that I tend to work with the most is in that 40 to 60 range. That's most of my clients. It's just the way that it happens. I don't know how. It's just, it's mostly those are the people who can afford personal training. Those are people who are willing to let somebody teach them something. Most younger people are willing to try it out on their own, go on Instagram, YouTube, whatever it is, and learn. So that's most of my clientele.
Men, women, mixed?
Mixed, but I'd say if probably 70% women.
Yeah, because 30%. You're handsome. I mean, they just want to... A shot to see you with your shirt off at some point during the workout. I get that.
One of my clients actually said that this morning. She's 61, and she's. We were talking about how I used to train kids and how sometimes when I was training the girls, they wouldn't say a word, and it was a super awkward hour. They wouldn't say anything. She's like, they probably have a crush on you. I was like, yeah, you might be right. Cody says that, my wife. And then she says, well, now you just train old women that have a crush on you also.
I tend to agree. Nutrition. Mm-hmm. I know you're big into nutrition. Mm-hmm. I know when you work with youth athletes and young adult athletes, you really stress how important nutrition and sleep and talk about why you're so passionate about, you know, not eating sugary cereals and stuff like that.
I think it's because it's become so common and people don't realize how much it's actually affecting them. You know, eating a bowl of cereal for breakfast when you're 13 years old, as opposed to a few eggs and a piece of toast and avocado or whatever, it just makes the biggest difference in the world. And unfortunately, I guess you could say we've gotten duped or tricked into thinking like it's not really that big a deal. When at the end of the day, you know, I've posted on this before, I've done comparisons of, I think I did two bowls of Frosted Flakes because nobody ever eats one bowl of cereal, or it was one and a half, is a less healthy breakfast than eating a Snickers bar. Snickers bar is a little protein, a little fat, it has more calories and things like that. And, you know, nutrition is the foundation of all of it. At the end of the day, it's kind of what I preach with the way I work out. You can work out however you want. If you want to look a certain way, the nutrition is the only thing that matters. And I want to set that tone for kids early because that's what made all the difference for me. I was 15 years old. I was like, I want a six pack. Stop eating candy. Cool. And guess what? It happened. And now that's kind of led into what I do now. And even if I wasn't a personal trainer, I'd still be active all the time, eating well. So I just see how that.
How do we do a better job, though? Like for me, so it's the parents. You didn't even wait for me to get to it. Parents are two job households, and it's a lot easier to have your son or daughter pour a bowl of Frosted Flakes than it is to make them eggs in the morning. Lunch, dinner, you know, you're relying on a school lunch and sometimes. Yeah. I know my youngest son, Brett, when he turned 16 and started driving, my wife and I took him to the supermarket. We bought a week's worth of chicken. We taught him how to turn on the grill. We taught him how to grill chicken. We taught him how to slice avocado, how to make rice. And he meal prepped for himself at 16 years old because we were smarter with my third kid than I was with my first kid. I'm probably guilty of shoving Pop-Tarts down my kid's throat or cinnamon rolls, you know, as a young kid.
I'll rebuttal that with something though. Did Jordan, your oldest, ever ask you to go grocery shopping and chicken and this and that?
Or no.
Was Brett the first one to ask? Brett, or did you get Brett to do it yourself? Or did
Jordan,
he say, hey,
Jordan,
I want to do this?
Jordan, I don't know that when Jordan was going through this journey 15 years ago, we understood how important it was. He was also a different athlete. Jordan was a pitcher only. How his body moved laterally didn't matter. He needed to have a strong core, strong bottom half, and able to control his body to throw a baseball. Brett was always the hardest working of my three kids. Mm-hmm. Sydney was born athletic. She was good enough to be good enough. She didn't want to work. She didn't want to work. Brett wanted to outwork the other two, whether it was academically or physically. And Brett wasn't gifted the same body that Jordan was. And I think he needed to work at it. It just came natural for Jordan. Brett needed to work on it. Brett was the kid that I would say literally sleep with Oreos and a glass of milk on your nightstand because I need you to put on more calories, right? Or put in more calories before you go to sleep. I mean, I wouldn't say that to a normal kid. That's just not healthy. But after eating his protein and some carbs, I would still want him to eat like a tub of ice cream and Oreos. But
I say that because you got on yourself for shoving Pop-Tarts in Jordan's face, let's say. And I flip that script and say that wasn't your fault necessarily. I would credit Brett for being like, hey, can we go to the grocery store? Can you teach me how to turn on the grill? Can you teach me how to cook chicken? Because that's something I talk to a lot of kids about. And my posting history, I used to post a lot more for kids. And a lot of kids would say, my parents won't make me for that. My parents won't do this and that. And I always just said, if you're 14 years old and you walk up to your parents and say, I want to get stronger. I want to get better at my sport. Can we go to the store and get some chicken? Because I want to learn how to make grilled chicken. What parent is going to say no to that? None of them. Right?
How many 14-year-olds do that, though?
That's my point. Is yes, it's the parents. It's slightly the parents' fault because kids don't listen; they watch, right? But at the end of the day, if the 14-year-old really wants to make it happen, what I'm rebuttaling is the 14-year-old saying, "Oh, my parents don't buy that." Have you asked them to buy it? Have you said, "I want to eat healthier. Don't buy Frosted Flakes."
Do kids understand that by 15, eating is no different than working out, right? It's a job, right? Whether I'm hungry or not, I've got to get calories in. Mm-hmm. If I'm burning 3,500 calories and I don't take in 4,000, I'm losing weight. So all the working out I'm doing is for naught.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Jordan's, even though they're only 6 or 7 years apart, I don't know that Jordan's, I don't know that we were as knowledgeable about that.
I agree, yeah.
You know, and
6 or 7 years in this field is
huge.
A long time.
And Jordan also having played 4 years at Bucknell and Sydney 2 years at NYU before Brett started his college career, I think Brett got to see.
That's fair.
And had kind of, something to look up to with his within his own siblings.
That makes sense.
So I think he understood better. But Brett just being Brett wanted it.
Yeah.
He wanted it and wasn't going to take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. And if that was part of it, it became part of his everyday. Mm-hmm. Pat Damiano, you truly wanted a six pack and I don't know, man. The last time I saw you with a shirt off is probably like 8 or 12. It's disgusting. how good you look. I could wash my clothes on your stomach. Are you healthy every day?
No. Here we go. No, I'm not. No, I am not. I have my days. That is for sure.
So what's a typical day for you? You're now married to beautiful Cody. You guys are both working, right? Mm-hmm. She works full time. You're working, doing your thing. No kids. You have a cat that you love very much. You come home from work. What are you having for dinner?
So if it's during the week, I'm coming home. I'm having some sort of meat, usually a steak or ground beef, sometimes chicken, with a side of rice, maybe some avocado and a salad. That's
Cody doing the same thing.
No, she's like super, super strict and lean. She's like ground turkey, tiny bit of rice, maybe ground chicken. That's it.
So you guys are cooking Monday through Saturday.
Yep. Basically.
Okay.
What about breakfast and lunch? What does that look like for you?
So breakfast for me, I don't always eat breakfast just because I'm up so early. I just don't like eating
agreed.
At 4 o'clock in the morning. So I might take like a bag of almonds and dates or something, take that to the gym, a banana, maybe a protein shake, and just kind of have that throughout the morning. And then my first actual meal is usually when I get home, and that's going to be eggs, toast, maybe some avocado. If I have some leftover meat from the night before, I'll just kind of throw that on the plate as well.
Pat is normally in the gym by 5 a.m.?
5 or 6.
5 or 6 a.m. So when he talks about having eggs, it's, you know, some people just getting to work. It's like 11 o'clock, 12 yeah. o'clock, right? He's having his eggs and whatever. Tell me about Sundays. All right, because I need everybody to understand, no matter how disciplined you are, you need a day yep. or a meal a week to, you know, look forward to.
Mm-hmm. So Sundays lately, me and Cody go through our phases. But right now, Sundays are usually some sort of, we maybe go to the diner for brunch, right around 12 or 11 or something like that. Maybe we get a sandwich. And then lately, we've been doing a lot of pizza for dinner on Sundays.
I was going to say, because if you didn't talk about that, you'd be full of it. I know what your cheat days are. Yes. And it's not just pizza. It's not just like, you know, Pat Damiano's having a slice or two of pizza. No. Pat could eat a whole pizza.
4 slices minimum.
Minimum. Yeah. Minimum. Like, you're savage.
Yeah, pizza, I could do it.
So you look forward to Sunday.
Oh, it's the best.
And when you train people who are not as disciplined as you are, is that frustrating at all?
It is and it isn't. Like, I have like two, I'm like split personality with that, right? I'm very, very empathetic and I completely understand it. I'm very fortunate that, you know, I've been doing this for 18 years now. I've been eating healthy and working out forever. So it's just so ingrained in me. I don't have kids. I don't have to commute into the city back and forth. So I understand my life is definitely a little bit more surrounded and geared towards that.
Sure.
Now, have I made it that way? Potentially, but I totally understand that aspect. There are a lot of speed bumps for a lot of people in like regular corporate America with kids. So I'm empathetic to that. The other side of me is like, you have to eat anyway. So just like, don't make it shitty, right? We still have to eat our food. So instead of having a burger and fries, which is a lot easier to just go get, make some chicken and broccoli and rice. So I'm very split down the middle with that. And I also think it's very dependent on the person that I'm talking to.
So I was diagnosed as a young kid with hypoglycemia, which was very tough. You know, as a 10 or 11 year old kid, I really couldn't have sugar and chocolate and cakes and cookies, like, you know, my favorite thing, mm-hmm. you know, as a kid.
Still is.
Well, I'm going to get to that. So I was lucky. I mean, I remember having birthday parties at 11 and 12 years old, and my mom would get like a birthday cake for all the people that were at the party, but I had to have fruit. it was awful. It was traumatic,
that's
right?
Messed up.
But I outgrew it. And, and I was lucky. Like, my blood sugar, you know, really is good. But my whole life changed, and I wake up 4:35 o'clock in the morning. I am immediately having a cup of coffee, and I want to start my day with something sweet. Now, I'm not being a total ass about it. It may be a cookie, mm-hmm. but the first thing in my mouth is something sweet. And then you get somebody like me. Now we're working together for 4 years, and you're telling me about this great weekend where you went to go work out up in Saratoga, and all I'm telling you about is this weekend's lineup with crumble cookies. and then what happened on that Tuesday? Tell everybody what happened on that infamous Tuesday.
So my wife is extremely disciplined with her food Monday through Saturday, even more so than me, and very OCD about it, meaning, you know, if you threw a slice of pizza in front of me on a Wednesday night, I might eat it. She's not, Monday through Saturday. So you thought it was a great idea to send a box of crumble cookies. I think it was 8, too.
6.
It was 6? It's just 6?
It was 6. Because there's only 2 of you. There's no way you're going to eat a whole cookie. So
a nice fat box of crumble cookies. I think it was like 8 o'clock at night on a Tuesday.
Warm cookies.
Warm, because we usually, if we get them, we get them Saturday, eat them Sunday. So we usually don't have them warm, which is a game changer. And Yeah, Cody was not very happy with
Cody. Hated me. Cody hated me for a couple days for sure. F-bombing me left and right. But I love that, you know, I'm such a bad human being that I'm trying to ruin such a great disciplined human being. And I wanted to see if you were going to dive in there.
Well, because we've talked about this, me and you have very different forms of discipline. My discipline is I won't buy it. I could walk into any grocery store at any time and not buy Oreos. But if you put a sleeve of Oreos in front of me, I'm not just eating one. You have the discipline to eat one.
And walk away.
I can't fathom that. So we just have different types of discipline. You can't stop yourself from buying it, but you can stop yourself from eating it.
I in so many ways, just love messing with you.
It's easy to mess with me.
Everybody
with
you does because
it.
You're so type A and you're so shot out of a cannon every day of your life. Talk about challenges in training. I want to use this term loosely. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say an aging athlete like me. You can probably tell I was very athletic as a younger guy, but obviously time has crept up on me. What is it like for you to walk in with a certain game plan, knowing, like your other clientele, I also want to do some fun stuff and some alternative stuff. Mm-hmm. What's that like for you?
It's the term I use with like some other trainers as well, that they need to learn to be, they need to be okay calling audibles, right? There's gonna be, when you're 22 years old, you can walk to the gym and do exactly what's written down on paper, no problem, you do all of it. Doesn't matter how long it takes you, so on and so forth. There's gonna be different challenges with someone who's 58 with a knee and hip replacement. Maybe your knee's just not feeling good today. We were supposed to squat. We're gonna have to do different things. Or maybe you just saw me doing something on Instagram yesterday. Do you wanna try it out? Like, that's fine. At the end of the day, that's what we're here, is to just be active, be moving, stay consistent with it, enjoy it. So it's always being okay to call those audibles. And obviously we wanna kind of get our basics in and follow some sort of plan or blueprint. But at the end of the day is being okay and realizing it's not the end of the world if we need to make changes because your hip's not feeling good today, you slept weird and your neck's funky, or you threw too much BP yesterday and now your shoulder's bothering you. Those audibles are necessary both from a physical standpoint, also just a mental standpoint, you know?
You know, I think honestly, like for me personally, you've done an incredible job. Thank because you. I know I'm not easy to deal with, right?
I can handle it.
You can handle it for sure. There were days I'll tell you I just don't want to do it, and you've gotten comfortable enough to tell me to just shut up and do it. One of my things, one of my messages, I think for everybody at any age, and when I talk about fighting Father Time, is just not stopping movement, right? I'm obviously not lifting the weight I used to lift. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing certain exercises because my body can't take that. How important is it to just continue to get people to move, Pat? I feel it's like the most important thing. Yep. How do you feel about that?
It's my overarching theme of everything. That's what I always say, is it doesn't matter the form of exercise you're doing. You can see progress and look great doing anything. So just do something, and do something that's going to keep you moving and something that you enjoy doing. It's why I do what I do. It's why I try and preach to other people that same philosophy, because, you know, I want you to still be working out when you're 80. How do we make it, what, you're 68? How do we
58.
Make 58. 58. I'm sorry, 58.
Oh, rush it.
How do we make it 22 more years?
Right.
By doing something you like to do. It's the only way to do it, and we have to keep the ball rolling, because as we get older, that ball stops. It goes back downhill real quick, and then we got to make our way back up. We don't have as much leeway as when we were maybe 20 or 25. So keeping it moving with something that you enjoy doing is the most important thing, and it doesn't matter what it is.
I couldn't agree with it more. People think I'm crazy for continuing to work out and continuing to try and play ball with prosthetic limbs, right?
Keeps you young.
I'm trying to be able to chase my grandkids around. What's next for Pat Damiano? Where do you see this GQ 12-pack business model going? What's next for you?
So someone asked me this the other day, actually, and I don't know what it is, but there's something more than just telling people to do push-ups and kettlebell swings for me. So there's something higher than that. I don't know how to explain it. It's in me somewhere, whether it's some sort of, I don't know what, but there's something more. I mean, I'm going to keep, fitness is always going to be part of what I do. I never want that to stop. I always want to be coaching and I always want to be training in some sort of capacity, whether it's online, in person, this and that. But I also believe that down the road, this might be 8 or 10 years, that there's something more to give than just some workouts. And I don't know what that is yet, but it's starting to speak to me a little bit. The workouts is always there. It's always going to be. I always want to keep people moving. I love teaching. I love coaching. I always do want to do that. But when you say, like, what's next, I just feel like there's something that I don't know what it is yet. I'm still digging for it.
Other than Stark, are we talking about a family? His cat is named Stark after Iron Man, by the way. He's a big fan. Are we talking a family down the road?
That would be best case scenario, yeah. I mean, I would love that.
I can't wait till Cody's pregnant.
Yeah.
I can't wait till I'm going to be shoving crumbles down her throat left and right.
And I can't say no, because pregnancy cravings, she's got to do whatever.
She's going to do whatever she wants on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Pat, thanks for being here today, man. You know, pleasure. I love you, and thank you for everything you do for me. Thanks for everything you do for every community you work with. There's only one of you, man. You're incredibly, like I said, just incredibly energetic. You're never in a bad mood. And I always love the time we spent together. So thank you. Thank you for being with us today. I know this is a little bit different. There was no baseball. There was no softball. Well, other than his career. But my takeaways from something like this, eat healthy, be healthy, don't stop moving, and never be happy with where you're at. Continue to fight, continue to move, continue to do your thing, and continue to follow us at the 90 Feet Away podcast. Subscribe, follow us. See you next time. Thank you.